Sweetest pie. Well, good morning, Reach Church. How's everybody doing this morning, huh? Okay, everybody's doing okay, right? Hey, man, we had breakfast yesterday. You're not still, like, tired after eating all that breakfast yesterday. Is that the case? Too much carbs, he says. Hey, well, look, guys, I'm really excited to be up here with you guys. Pastor Derek's down at our Florida campus right now. Really cool thing that we're doing right now. We are going into a new series, and it's really exciting for me to be able to start us off in the series. It's called Be the Church. And the cool thing about this is that last week, what did we celebrate? Anybody remember? Woo, Easter. Some of you guys are like, man, a week ago? That was like 7 days. Okay. Hey, yeah, last week we celebrated Easter. And what are we celebrating when we gather together for Easter? We're celebrating the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Come on, he's alive. Let's go. He's alive. That's what we were celebrating. And you know what? The cool thing about it is after he comes back, when he rises again, he comes and he starts spending some time with the disciples to do what? To set up the church for the future, to set up the church for its ongoing mission. So we're talking about being the church. Now, when you think about the church, some people think about the church as the building, this place, right? This big building that we've got with all the lights, and there's a stage, and there's musical instruments with an awesome new drum cage, let's say that, with a sound booth, and this awesome parking lot, and we're up on this hill, and we got a big tower. It's a church, right? It's a church building. Well, here's the thing. Do we talk about the church like it's a building, or do we talk about the church as though we are the church, saints? Do we talk about the church as a building or as though we are the church? Here's the thing. The church has been, always will be, a living organism. The church is alive and functions much like our body. Paul talks about it in 1 Corinthians. He says, there is one body, but it has many parts. But all its many parts make up one body. It is the same with Christ. Think about that. We've got all these different parts. Man, there's so many parts inside of us that we can't even see. There's cells and all sorts of things at work in unity to make up a Pastor Zach or a Josh, or a Pastor Warren, or a Miss Teresa, or a Jeremy. There's all these different parts that make us up into one, right? Now, think about this. I've got a thumb, right? And I particularly like my thumb. It's pretty useful. I don't know if you guys know this, but a thumb helps us to grab things, helps us to work on different things. It's very, very useful. Miss Amy was playing piano this morning. I guarantee you she was using some thumb in there. I'm just saying, thumbs are useful. Now, I also think pinky toes are useful. In fairness, I'm walking around, and I'm feeling pretty good, feeling pretty stable, because I know that pinky toe's on the edge there, and he's working things out, right? He was designed to do that. My thumb was designed to do thumb things. Now, I don't think I would particularly like having my thumb hanging out on my foot like that, or my pinky toe being my thumb, and then I'm trying to grab things like that. It doesn't work. All the pieces have jobs. All the pieces are specifically designed to make up one body, right? One body. Now, I can't imagine. Can you imagine your thumb sticking out on the side of your foot, man? That'd be crazy, right? Or, man, that pinky toe, not very useful for holding a pencil. I'm just saying. Some people can do it. I don't know how they do it. Some people can. That's not me, right? I was built with my pinky toe on my foot. See, we need organization, right? We need organization. We need order. Things have to be in the right spots and doing the right things because, well, that's how we function all as one body. But the other part of that is that the church is meant to be full of life. Life. The church is supposed to be full of life, guys. It's not to be a lifeless structure that is built for our comfort. Okay, it's pretty comfortable in here, right? It's not so bad. Nice coat, comfy seats. It's pretty nice in here. But the church is not meant to be a building that is built for our comfort, but a life-giving assimilation of giftings and stories. Come on, somebody say testimonies. Testimonies that reveal the transforming power of God through Jesus Christ and the infilling of the Holy Spirit. We are witnesses. We are a body with a purpose. Come on. We're a body with a purpose. In order to be the church, we have to be a witness. All right, if you got your Bibles, go ahead and grab them. We're going into Acts today. We're going to Acts 1:1. Should be pretty easy. If you got a paper Bible and you got a bunch of little tabbies, mine starts at the purple. Okay? Acts 1, verse 1, starting from there. This is Luke, okay? He's continuing the story from when he was telling the story in the Gospel of Luke, right? It says, in my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day he was taken up to heaven, after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. After his suffering, he presented himself to them and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. And we'll look at that in just a minute. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command: do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John, he baptized with water. But in a few days, oh, you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Now check this reply out from the disciples, all right? This is great. They're like, then they gathered around him and asked, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? Okay, so Jesus goes, I'm sure he went, whew, okay, Lord. All right, Father, let's do this. All right, and he goes, it is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority. But guys, and pay close attention here, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Okay. Now, this is great because, the disciples are like, cool, kingdom back here, Israel, let's go. Let's go, Jesus. And he's like, guys, you're thinking too small. You guys weren't hearing all the things I've been trying to tell you. Look at what I'm trying to tell you. I'm trying to tell you there is a power coming for you. The Father is going to lay down a power on you that is much bigger than just here. Come on, saints. That's called the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is going to come, and he's going to give you power that goes way beyond just right here. Just right here. They're all concerned about Israel, and we look at, and I love that Luke gives us some context. You know, Jesus is appearing to them over a span of 40 days. He's talking to them about the kingdom. This is all stuff that he says right before he ascends into heaven, right? And he's saying, guys, listen, there's so much more coming. You just, I know you guys, I've said it and said it and said it, and you guys don't quite get it yet, but you're gonna. It's coming. The fullness of the message that I am bringing is about to be very real for you. You're going to see it. Look at this word, though. He says that we're going to be witnesses. Witnesses. So to be the church, we got to be witnesses. Look at this word. It's the Greek word martyrio. Say that, martyrio. Yeah, that's pretty good. That's all right. We'll work on some Greek later. Martyrio, it's okay. I only did one semester of Greek, and boy, I tell you what. Woo, I was struggling. Let's be real. I was struggling. My Hebrew teacher, I was learning French at the same time, and my Hebrew teacher, she was actually from Quebec in Canada, and so when she spoke English, it was in this thick French accent, and so we were supposed to reply in Hebrew, but when she spoke in English, it sounded French, and I was learning French, so my brain would respond in French, and then I'd be like, I don't know what's happening anymore. Languages can be hard, that's okay, but look at this word, martyrio, okay, this is the Greek word, to be a witness, to testify, literally or figuratively, charge, give evidence, bear record, have, obtain, good, honest report, be well reported of, testify, give testimony, have testimony. This is something that we have personal knowledge of, that we testify about. We have personal knowledge and testify about, and listen to this. This brings up the great question of what do we have personal knowledge of that we're supposed to be testifying about? Or more specifically, what is it that Jesus calls us to witness about? See, it's funny because the disciples, they had some doubts, right, when Jesus rose from the grave, right? No joke. Come on. A guy shows up and they're like, what? Some of the disciples are like, this is a ghost. There is something weird happening here. There's a ghost right in front of us. I do not know what's going on. And at that point, they weren't saying like, oh, that's a Holy Ghost. No, that's like oh, there's a ghost, right? And then they see Jesus, and Jesus in his infinite patience and kindness and mercy and grace, he appeals to their sense of sight and hearing and even touch. He lets them touch his scars. And they go, whoa, wait a minute. Jesus is alive. Whoa, he's alive. And then to top it all off, I don't know if you guys remember this, but to top it off, he goes, hey, do you guys have any food? And they find broiled fish and they give it to him and he eats it right there in front of them in their presence. And they go, oh yeah, ghosts don't eat. So, you know, what? Look at the evidence. He is alive. Jesus is alive. And at first they don't get it. And then he says this. We're going to go into Luke here real quick. Luke 24, verse 44, it says this here. He said to them, this is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about who? Me, Jesus, in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms. Now check this part out. This one's really cool. Then he opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures. What? He opened their minds so that they could understand the scriptures. He told them, this is what is written. The Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations. Hello, America. What? Okay, all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. That's only the start. You are witnesses of these things. I'm going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high. The power that we get from the Holy Spirit. Look at this. This is so cool. So Jesus points out, he opens their minds to what the scriptures are saying. Okay? We have the benefit of having the gospel of Jesus Christ written in written form for us to see, by the way. We have that benefit, right? But he says, look at all these things that you see in the Torah, and you see in the Psalms and the Proverbs, and the things that you see in all the books of the prophets. Guess what? They point to me, Jesus. They point to me, and it opens up their minds so that they can understand the things that he is saying. And then he goes, but guess what? The fullness, hang on, it's still coming. Don't you worry. It's going to be even better. It's going to get even better. Just wait. Just wait. Stay in Jerusalem. Don't go anywhere. Be ready because it's coming. It's coming. And then the Holy Spirit comes, of course, we know. And we'll get into that a little bit later. But the Holy Spirit comes, and then all of a sudden, the church, oh yeah, it's on. It's on. And they're ready to go. But what are we witnesses to, church? We're the church. We're a body with a purpose. What are we witnesses to? Well, fact of it is that we are witnesses to the redemptive narrative of Jesus Christ. I don't know if you guys recognize this, but before Jesus, we were all just sinners. No hope. Caught in death because of our own sin. After Jesus is a whole nother story. The whole Bible speaks of the redemptive narrative of Jesus. I love it. If you ever go back into Hebrews, right? Go read Hebrews 11 and 12. Go back there. It's they call it the Hall of Fame of Faith, right? All these stories of all these guys that, by the way, you can read about right here. in your Bibles, in the Word of God, and it tells about all their faithfulness and how they continue to stick with God and continue to try and follow God even through adversity. And then the writer of Hebrews says this. He goes, yeah, but see, all these stories, these are amazing, and these help encourage us. But how do we shuck off the things that try and bring us down and try and keep us from God? I'll tell you. He says, we do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus. Just like we sang. Nothing else. It's Jesus. Christ be magnified. Jesus. Only Him. We're witnesses to this redemptive narrative. The Old Testament, think about this. There's hundreds of passages in the Old Testament that prophesy about Jesus or directly tell us that Jesus is coming. It's very clear. When you go back, I encourage new believers. I say, hey, listen, if you want to know where to start, start with the New Testament. Start reading the Gospels. Go through them, read them all. Read the New Testament, and then guess what? Go back and look at the Old Testament, and you'll be like, whoa. Whoa. Because when we know what we're looking for, when we know, when we center our eyes on Jesus, and then we go back here and we start looking at all these things, we go, dude, that was like hundreds of years before Jesus came onto the earth incarnate. Are you kidding me? This is crazy. It's amazing. It opens our minds to the Word of God. And we have this redemptive narrative that we, as believers, are the ones that get to witness. We're the ones that get to witness it. Jesus talks about it. Hey, you could see it in the Torah. You could see it in this. You could see it in this. You could see it in all these things. John even says it this way. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Jesus is the Word, and it's easy for us to see it when we know what we're looking for. Once we've got this baseline and we see what, oh, wow, oh, wow. Jesus did this and this and this. Oh, wow, this even said, David said that this was going to happen. This is insane. What? It's amazing for us to see that, witness that. But see, it didn't stop there. Jesus was like, hey, guess what? You're going to be the continuing narrative. You're going to be the one that takes that message and goes forward. See, we witness to the testimony of the saints. Hello, saints. Good morning, saints. Hello. Hello. Come on. Think about this. Okay. I'll be the first one to admit, I was a disaster before Jesus, okay? Come on. Anybody else in this house? Raise a hand. Come on. Talk to me. I was a disaster before Jesus. Period. I was dead in my transgressions. I was dead in my sin. I had no real life before Jesus. So guess what? I've got a story to tell. I've got a story to tell about all about a man who was also God and changed my world and your world and your world and your world and your world. Got a story, a testimony. Listen to what Ephesians says. It says, because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in our transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. Man, none of us deserved it. None of us deserved it. I'll tell you, I'll be the first one to say, I did not deserve the grace of God. I didn't. You didn't either. But we have a message of amazing grace to tell people that Jesus took my sins. He who had no sin became sin and died on the cross. Why? So that my sin might be washed away and that I might be resurrected with him. Man, when we were singing that song, Christ be magnified. Come on. He's just singing that bridge, man. It's talking about how if we join him in his suffering and we join him when he rises. Come on, I don't like to just sing when I come here. When we come here and gather, I'm here to worship. That moment when we were singing that, I was like, oh yeah, come on. How can we not? Because we know that our sin was put to death on that cross so that we could experience new life with him. Come on. But why is our story so important? Why is our testimony, this testimony of the saints, so important? Here's the thing. Do you listen to people that you know more than you listen to people that you don't know? Generally, that's the case, right? Generally, somebody says something to you, especially if it's in a correcting fashion, and you're like, man, you don't even know me. You don't even know, right? You don't know me. Wait, you can't speak into my life. Who are you? You don't know me. You don't know my life. But when somebody who knows you, who lives around you, who's been with you for years, says something to you, it hits different, doesn't it? And here's the thing. Every single one of us in here has relationships with people who need to hear a redemptive message but won't hear it from somebody like me because they don't even know me. And I don't know them. So why would they hear it from me? But they will hear it from you. Listen to Paul. Paul, when he was talking to Timothy, it's funny because he tells Timothy about how God showed him mercy, him, Paul, the worst of all sinners, right? Which, I mean, you get a little hard on yourself there, Paul, but the worst of all sinners, right? Paul, God showed him mercy so that in him Christ Jesus might display his immense patience as an example for those who would believe in him and receive eternal life. You ever heard this phrase? If he could do it for me, he could do it for you. Come on. If God could do this in my life, man, he could do it in yours, no problem. You hearing me? It's a big deal. That's the testimony of you, saints. It's the testimony of me being able to express that to people so that they might believe and receive eternal life. Now, it's not all on us, right? Because in ourselves, we don't have a whole lot of power. And that's why Jesus talked about, guess what? There's a power coming. It's called the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is going to work power through your life, and it's going to be wild. Buckle up. So it all boils down to this. When we talk about what it is that we are supposed to witness, guess what? It all boils down to this. Just like our Bibles, everything we should say or do should point to Jesus. Period. Just like our Bibles. Go and read it and see how everything points to Jesus. And then everything that you do or say should point people back to Jesus, just like that, as a witness. Now, three areas of focus for a witness, right? Three areas of focus. So, okay, who are we going to witness to? Well, this one might sound silly to you. Be a witness to yourself, saints. Be a witness to yourself. Now, if you think, oh, that doesn't make any sense, well, let me get you to Romans real quick. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Do you realize that this is speaking of us actually witnessing to ourselves in that moment? Now, the power is not in us. The Holy Spirit is going to work with it. But in that moment, we are witnessing to ourselves. Every time I pick up this Bible, I'm witnessing to myself. Why? I'm like, okay, Lord, I need some things. Let's come on. Bring it to me. Reveal it to my mind so that I would see the goodness of God. So that I would see your redemption work. Philippians says this, finally, brethren, whether things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. Witness to yourself, man. Start filling up. Get in the Word. Let the Holy Spirit work on you. Be willing and open and ready. Now, some days, I'll admit, some days, I think, boy, wouldn't it be nice to just witness to myself all the time. And I just go up in the mountains. I'll sit out on the front porch of a cabin, a rocking chair. I might be an old man. Don't judge me. Sitting there with my coffee in the early morning and with the mountain breeze. Oh, yeah, Lord, this is just great. And just sit with him and praise and prayer and enjoy the word. Well, but see, here's the thing. It's not just us that we got witness. It's not just us that we got to witness to. Who else can we witness to? Be a witness to our family and friends. Be a witness to your family and friends. Listen to what Hebrews says. But exhort one another daily while it is called today. Okay, well, let's come back to that. Exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. You know, today is today, right? And you know, tomorrow, like when we're in tomorrow, is going to be today again, right? And then the next day, like when we're there, that's also going to be today. What is the writer of Hebrews trying to get across? Hello, encourage each other all the time. Don't wait. Don't say, oh, I'll encourage them tomorrow. I'll get around to them tomorrow. No, today's today. Let's go. Let's do it right now. Encourage each other. Why? Why? Lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. If we're pouring out the word of God onto each other, if we are pouring out how good and amazing our God is through his redemptive work, it is so much easier for us to see sin for what it is. Because we're clear on how good God is. See, the thing about, we got to be on guard. Okay, and I don't want to go into that because we'll get to talking about that next week. We got to be on guard because sin is deceitful. And so we have to be very clear about the redemptive work of God so that sin is always clear to us and we can point it out easily, not letting it deceive us. There is an adversary who is trying to take us down, but we'll talk about being on guard next week. The whole point of this passage, though, is that we should be pouring out the redemptive work of Jesus on the people around us, the people closest to us, our friends, our family, our kids, our wife, our husband, whoever is right there with you every single day. Those are the people we should be encouraging. You should be spilling out how good God is to them all the time. When we pray with the young adults, we always do prayer requests. And I don't know if y'all know, but being a young adult in this day and age is something else. It is not the same as when I was a young adult. And I can't even imagine the difference between people older than me and the young adult life right now. It's insane. But so there's a lot of prayer requests, right? Woo! Please pray for this because I don't know if I'm going to make it. There's a lot of tough things that we pray about. But we always try to remember what are some praise reports too. Not just prayer requests, let's do some praise reports too. Why? Because we'd be encouraging one another about how good God is, even in the tough things. So wait, even when I was dead in my transgressions, God was still good. Come on, saints. That's a message that you carry. It's that simple. That's a message that you carry. Check this out. Later in Hebrews, he says, we should think about each other to see how we can encourage each other to show love and do good works. We must not quit meeting together as some are doing. No, we need to keep on encouraging each other. This becomes more and more important as you see the day getting closer. Man, it's not like life's getting easier. Is life getting super easy for anybody? Because if so, I mean, let's talk. No, I mean, it's not getting easier. World's not getting like super amazing. Oh, wow, look, everybody just loves God now. This is great. It's not getting easier. As the day approaches, man, we got to be encouraging each other. We got to be encouraging our family. We got to be encouraging and saying, man, look what God's done. Look what he continues to do. And I have no doubt, and I have faith to believe that he's going to continue to do it. He's going to do even greater. That's the message we have. We got to be a witness to others. Now, this is the interesting one, because it's not me. It's not us, right? It's not us. We got to be witnesses to others. It's everyone else. It's everyone else. Look at what Romans says. It says, let each of us please his neighbor for his good, leading to edification. What? Wait a minute. Let us please our neighbor for his good, leading to edification. I don't know if you guys know, but I got some really cool neighbors. And I love to love on them. They love to love on us. Sometimes they even bring us little treats, Korean treats, which are just awesome, by the way. Also, the glass noodles, fantastic. I'm just saying. Anyways, look, I mean, we love on each other. He'll come over and he'll ask me about something that he's working on. I'll be like, oh, yeah, here, come here. Let me show you. If you use this and this and this, and that'll help. Well, what are we doing? We're loving on each other for each other's good, right? Not because we want to get something out of each other. No, just because we want to love on each other for each other's good. Now, here's the thing, though. Your neighbor is your neighbor. No, oh, I hear some laughs. Your neighbor is your neighbor, by the way. I want you to know that I can't love on your neighbor like you can. Why? Because he's your neighbor. I don't live in your house. You probably wouldn't like it. I'm always cleaning. I don't know why. I can't help it. I'm not your neighbor's neighbor. You are. You're the one that can love on him. You're the one that can please your neighbor. We got new neighbors just the other day, okay? They just moved in. Brittany and I are talking, hey, we got to make some cookies. We got to take them over there so we can save them from the grip of hell. Come on. It's cookies. Come on, man. It's cookies. Now, why would I say that, though? I say that tongue-in-cheek, right? But why would I say that? So let us please our neighbor for his good. So, I mean, the cookies are obviously for their good. It's good for the souls, right? Maybe not for the waist, but it's good for the souls, right? Okay? Please our neighbor for his good, leading to edification. Okay, so now, we're talking about taking cookies over there and introducing ourselves and seeing how they move when and figuring out who they are and trying to welcome them, right? Now, if we're doing that, we're loving on them for their good. What do I hope they see? I hope they see the goodness of God. Now, maybe they don't see that at first. Maybe they don't even like cookies. I don't know what's wrong with that. Maybe they don't even like cookies. Oatmeal raisin is delicious. I don't know what's wrong with you people. But as we pour out love on them for their good, it starts us off on the right direction to help lead to edification. Edification of what? So that they might learn the goodness of God. Come on. That's my neighbor, though. You got your own. You've got your own neighbors to talk to. You got your own neighbors to love on. And I bet, you know what? I bet they would like cookies, too. But even more, I bet they need a relationship with Jesus like you got one. Ephesians says this, it says, let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. Man, I tell you what, There's been a lot of times where I didn't want to speak grace into people's lives. Think about our society today, man. We go out to restaurants and things, and there's all sorts of places where there's tips, there's gratuity and stuff included now, and people can grumble about those things. And you think about sometimes you're at a restaurant, and the waiter or waitress is kind of being a jerk. Let's be real, okay? Being a little bit of a jerk. And you're thinking, man, you're gonna get the tip you deserve, right? You're thinking that to yourself, and you're like, man, and you start getting snippy with them. Excuse me, my water's empty, right? Anybody out? Come on now. I know. Look, you get your coffee, and your coffee's empty, and it's been empty for like almost a whole minute. Come on now. What are we speaking to their lives? What are we speaking into them with our words and our actions? Are we speaking grace into their lives? Giving is an easy gift. It's a gift that I have. It's one of my gifts. Generosity, it's easy for me. It's easy. Maybe it's because Sophie softened me up. I don't know. But that's easy for me. And I think to myself, when we get a bad waiter or waitress or something, and they're just not doing, they're not serving well, right? The whole job is to serve, and you're not doing it well. You're kind of being a jerk. I think to myself, I wonder what's happening in their life. What's happening at home? Do they live with their mom and dad because they can't make enough money to actually move out, and they're trying to start their life, but they can't do it? Or do they have two little kids at home, and they're barely scraping by? This isn't the only job they got, and the kid is in trouble at school. Maybe they're in school, and they're trying to figure out how to pay for school because everybody told them how important school was, and they had to go to college, even though that's not where their giftings may have lied. There's all sorts of things going on in people's lives. This world, man, there's a mess out there. I don't know if y'all noticed. There's a mess out there. What is it that she's going to hear from me when I'm there? When I leave there, is she going to be like, just another customer, just another horrible family, just another terrible customer? Or is she going to hear kindness and love in my words? When she picks up that tip at the end of the time, is she gonna go, what? Am I gonna pour out grace like grace was poured out on me? Come on now. Easy for us to not. Let's be real, man. You pull into a parking lot and somebody goes, whoop, right into that spot you were eyeing, and you're like, my blinker was on. Man, it's not, you don't want to hold, you, I don't want to use grace right now, Lord. What is it that people see when they look at us? Church? Witnesses? What evidence are we showing? Are we showing evidence of a life changed and transformed by grace? Or are we showing them everything they see every day? Jesus made the church to be witness of something totally new, something totally different that was out of this world, so that people might see the grace and the goodness that God has been telling us about for thousands of years. What are we showing evidence of? To be the church, we got to be the church by witnessing to yourself, to your family, to your friends, and yeah, and others, everybody else. Everybody else. Everybody's including that. Look, just like we read in Acts 1, going back to that, back in verse 8, said, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. Y'all know it's not just about witnessing to yourself, as much as a log cabin in a mountain sounds wonderful sometimes. It's not just about witnessing to your sons and daughters. It's not just about witnessing to each other and encouraging each other. Kumbaya, woo, we're so great. Look at us go. What about everybody else? You know, it's really cool. We talk about how you think about Florida, our Florida campus, right, in Largo, Florida, and surrounded by this massive city. And you think about all the people that are starting to get impacted by the love of Jesus there. Why? Because we're a part of it. What? What? Here in a few weeks, some of the young adults are going with me to a conference we've been working on for all of Open Bible, right? It's called Movement. Movement United. Why? Because we're not just standing still. We are a body with a purpose. It's called movement. We're moving to something. We're moving to something greater, to witness this amazing news of reconciliation to a world that doesn't know it. You know, I found it really interesting. While I was reading this week, I ran into 2 Corinthians, and it's not going to be up there, but it said all this is from God who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Hang on, listen to me. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. Man, how often do we count people's sins against them? And then it says this, and he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. Saints, what message are we pouring out on people? When people see you and they talk to you and they spend time with you, or they have an interaction with you in the grocery store parking lot, what is the message that they receive? Is it the redemptive work of Jesus? This reconciling work of Jesus Christ? Or is it something else entirely? Listen to this. Just to press home the importance of what we're talking about, being witnesses. Listen to this. James says this. Remember this. Whoever turns a sinner from the error of their way will save them from death and cover over a multitude of sins. That's what's at stake here, saints. That's what's at stake here. Now, look, I'm not going to save them, and I'm not going to cover their sins. No, no, that work was done. That's Jesus. But through us, the Holy Spirit wants to use his power through us to help people come to a knowledge of knowing God and who he is and his redemptive work, and a saving knowledge of who Jesus is and what he did. Holy Spirit wants to do that through us. And boy, I want to let him. Stand up with me, would you? I want to pray over us today. Just put your hands together and put them over your heart. Raise your hands. Whatever you want to do, just to dial in a little bit. I want us to dial in. Start talking about being the church over the next several weeks. It is so vitally important us to recognize where the power for us to be the church comes from. And that's the Holy Spirit. Jesus, open our minds, open our hearts, open our being to what you want to do in your church. This is your church, Father. This body of believers, all many pieces but one body. This is your church, Jesus. It's yours. I pray the Holy Spirit comes into this place today. I pray that he comes and he pierces your heart today so that you will hear that you are a witness. You're a witness to the greatest news that there ever was. Let that evidence be so obvious to the world around. I pray that you'll be open for the Holy Spirit to make a new work in you. Father, let us edify ourselves, witness to ourselves, getting into your word, diving into what your word says, so that it fills us and overflows out of us. Father, I pray that we would be lights and beacons to our families and our friends, as our children watch us, as our brothers or sisters watch us, as our mothers, fathers, husbands, wives, as they watch us and they see everything that we do, I pray that the evidence of your goodness, the evidence of your reconciling love will be all that they see. Christ be magnified in all of us. Jesus, you make a way. Where there is no way, you make a way. Just like you died on the cross. And who would have thought that you would rise again? It should have been obvious to us, but it wasn't always. Where there is no way, you make a way. And Jesus, I pray that you make a way for each of us. Every single one of us in this place right now. I pray that you make a way for us to reach our neighbors, to love on them for their own good, so that they might be able to come to a knowledge of your goodness. Jesus, I pray that you would make a way, give us opportunity to display the evidence of our new life in you. That is so different. Give us the opportunity to make a way for us to show that as we run into people at the grocery store, as we run into people at the gym, as we run into people at the school or work or wherever we are going, that we are always displaying the evidence of a life transformed by the reconciling love of Jesus Christ. Pray all these things knowing that your spirit has power. Now, you didn't give us a spirit of timidity, no, but of power. Work in us, move in us, and through us, so that all of the world would know that Jesus, oh, you are good, and your love knows no end. We pray all these things in the mighty name of Jesus. And all the saints say, amen.